your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, and we come to the concluding chapter of these two epistles, reading the entire chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him, so that he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, and this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Here we come to Paul's battle plan, as it were. We're considering how it is that we are to live till Jesus comes. Some in the church of Thessalonica were of the impression that they should just lay back and take it easy, that Jesus certainly was coming so very soon that there was no need for toil. Let us tie this in with 1 Thessalonians now in chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Paul repeats as really a prequel to what he gives in 2 Thessalonians. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, he says, "Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. We urge you, brethren, to excel still more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to attend to your own business, and work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need." So Paul had laid it out plainly how the people were to live. They were a persecuted people. They were hard-pressed. There was that eager desire to be with Christ and to be out of Thessalonica. But Paul said, you are there for a purpose. God has given you his grace, he has given you his gospel, and you are to grow where you have been planted. And he says, you are to behave in such a way that outsiders might know of the goodness of God and of his power to keep you. Well, some, unfortunately, missed the word, or they were negligent in some way or another, so that as Paul writes this second epistle,
he is really coming to a specific point, and it comes here in chapter 3 and verse 11. Paul says, "We hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life," exactly what Paul had said they were not to do, "doing no work at all." Paul most certainly had not given that impression by his example or by his word, "doing no work at all, but acting like busy bodies." Here we deal with the key problem and the very reason that Paul writes to his dear friends, that they might grab a hold not only of the faith which would save them, but that they would understand that trusting in Christ is not the door to an easy life. Oh, they knew that so well. But it is not the door to escapism either. They were yet to be busy about their own work, caring for the needs of themselves and their families, and that they might have an opportunity to be generous to others in like manner. Really, this chapter breaks down in Paul's battle plan, as I call it, into three portions. Paul calls these people to pray. He calls them to remember and to pick up the example that he had given to them. And he addresses them about the apostolic word. Verses 1 to 5, Paul first of all says, "Brethren, pray for us." This isn't the only time that Paul had asked others to pray for him, but it's an amazing thing, the humility of this man, who was used of God perhaps more than any other. The only key competitor would have been the Apostle Peter. These two stand as the giants of the New Testament church, the forerunners carrying the gospel into both the Jewish world, Peter, and into the Gentile world, Paul. Giants. But Paul, he says, "Brethren, pray for us." Paul knew that it was the grace of Jesus Christ that had saved him, that had taken him from what he had been, a persecutor of the church, and had made him what he was. He never got past the Damascus Road, and knowing that God had shown his grace in such a measure, and that it wasn't Paul's voice, it wasn't Paul's wisdom or his academic prowess, it wasn't any of those things that would save anyone. It was simply the goodness of God. And so Paul, instead of raising himself up, oh, Paul had a difficult time talking about himself. Really, we know very little about the man. We could have known so very much more, given all that he writes in the New Testament. But Paul, he says, "Pray for us." He includes himself in there. And he lumps himself in with Silas and Timothy, who we see there in verse 1 as being the senders of this letter. Pray for us. Why? Paul, first of all, says that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly. Paul was eager, and we see this in his conduct and in his schedule, that Paul was ever pressing on to the next place, establishing a church in Philippi, and then pressing on to Thessalonica, establishing a church there, and then pressing on to Berea, and then pressing on to Athens, pressing on to Corinth, seeking to send the word of God. And then he's dreaming later on about Spain. He wasn't dreaming about Rome. He knew that the gospel had gotten to that point and that there was a church blossoming there, which he writes to. But he says, "Help me on my way to Spain." He wanted to see the word of God to spread and to see it spread rapidly. and secondly, that the word of the Lord would be glorified. Well, how in the world do you glorify the word of God? You glorify it by giving it flesh and bones. It's one thing for a Bible to sit on a coffee table with dust all over the cover. It's another thing for it to be open and for it to get into a person. And as the person gets into the word of God, and that the word of God is acted out in the workplace and in the classroom and in the home, that we no longer live by our own natural desires, but that we hear the word and that we attend to it and put it into actions. Paul says, oh, that the word of God, that it would spread, that people would know it, and that they would use it to conduct themselves. And Paul says, just as it did also with you. The word had spread from Jerusalem all the way there to Thessalonica, and it had not just come to the head, but it had come to the heart. And it was being glorified in the streets of Thessalonica. And Paul also says that we may be rescued. This is his third request. That we will be rescued from perverse and evil men. It's not politically correct to call anyone evil in our day. And certainly not correct to call anyone perverse. But Paul does. The Bible does. It says that some are without faith, and without faith it is impossible to please God. And so these who are without faith, unregenerate, unrepentant, rebellious, followers of the devil in every sphere, they will kick and they will fight against. Just in the past several days, being in communication with a man pastoring a church in Buenos Aires in downtown, seeking to establish a work there, where in just a few blocks there are more than 100,000 people living, where drugs are rampant and where crime is at record levels. And he says, we are seeking to establish a new home base. They've been dragged into court because one of their neighbors, although they have done everything possible to try to appease the man, he has opposed them at every point. And where their singing is bothersome to this fellow, he comes and with a pipe, he bangs it at their front door to try and disrupt. He has threatened harm to both the congregation and with death to the pastor. You see, not all have faith. Not all see that this world is not all that there is. There are evil people, perverse people. But Paul says, the Lord is faithful. Though some in this world do not have faith, God is full of faith. And he will strengthen, he will protect you from the evil one. Paul goes on to talk about the example, both that he had given and that the people now were to demonstrate there in Thessalonica in an ongoing way. Paul had given his example over a 3-week period. They were to give this example to others until Christ comes. Verse 6, strong language. Now we command you, brethren. At other times there has been exhortation, there has been encouragement, there has been words of comfort, but where there needed to be such, Paul was not amiss to step up and to say, look, we want you to hear this as strongly and as pointedly as it needs to be said. We command you, brethren, not based upon our own authority, but upon the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition, to the teaching which you received from us. We need to be careful about upon what we set our eyes. And when there is in the midst of a body, a church body, those who do not follow the example of Christ, it is like a festering sore. It can be something that can distract and can be an evil thing there in the midst of the body. And so Paul says, careful, careful, so very careful. He sounds the word of caution. Keep away from those who would want to be perceived as a brother, but actually they are not taking the word and putting it into action. Paul says, verse 7, you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. Paul, just as his example was at so many places, was that he did not want to be a burden. Some had gone around the Mediterranean world, and they had profited from their preaching and their teaching of the word. Paul wanted to distance himself, and just as he wrote to the Corinthians, he says, look, I could have taken advantage of the privilege that is rightly mine as one who comes to you with the word, but I wanted to cut out the legs from under those who would misunderstand why we had come. We did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. With labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Paul's desire, his great passion, was just as he had asked for prayer, that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly and that there would be nothing that would hinder that from spreading and from being glorified. Paul said, if it so be that we need to be doubly diligent, then let that be, that there be no stumbling block except the stumbling block of the cross of Christ. Paul says plainly, look, we could have had this right, this privilege, but we wanted to be an example that you might follow. Paul also goes on, as he draws near to the end of this chapter and this epistle, he speaks to them about the apostolic word. He speaks to them because he is writing to them upon the authority of Christ. And though at this time it was not understood that this was on the same level as Jeremiah or Isaiah or the work of Moses, but yet Paul is speaking with an authority, and he said, look, you need to hear this. You need to attend to this. Verse 10, he says, even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. The one follows the other. Order. Strong language, Paul. But here he is reminding them of the word that was spoken and the word that was heard, and that it was taken as good nourishing meat. We hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life. Verse 12, such persons we command, we exhort. So Paul comes to them, and previously he's used the word command in verse 6. Now he quickly uses, we order, we command, we exhort. Here is the word of God speaking with the authority such as it deserves to speak with, and that we need to hear it. You might say, oh, well, these people were hard pressed. Here were people who were persecuted, some of them having lost family or jobs, occupations, personal property. Should Paul be speaking with such severity to these people? Remember that those things whether they be jobs or property or even family, those are the things of this world that will soon pass away. But these people had entered into the kingdom of God and into the family of God. They had set aside their sins and their past and their former ways, and they had entered into riches. They had entered into a kingdom that would last for all eternity. They had a hope that was confident and sure. They had something that would not pass away. Paul speaks to them out of a deep concern, as the word speaks to all of us, that we not treat what we have received as a light or a frivolous or a thing to be frittered away, but that we sound the word of caution, that we hear the danger that is round about us and the devil in all of his wiles and schemes, how that he would want to cheat us of what we have received, and that we be called back to a sobriety, that we be called back to a sensibility, that we be called out of an undisciplined life and into that which is glorifying to God and to his word. Order, yes, the word of God has every right to order us. The word of God has every right to command us. And it is right that we receive with all sincerity every exhortation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that touch, not just an hour on Sunday morning, but you see here, these people, Paul was not talking about what they did when they met together for worship. He would talk to the Corinthians certainly about that and how unruly they had become. But here, Paul is talking about Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday and Friday and Wednesday. Every day, he says, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread. Once again, the Bible does not know anything about private religion. It's something that gets into us as we get into the world. We take it with us. And Paul concludes verse 13, as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. Just keep on keeping on, blessing and strengthening those round about you. And Paul also, in addition to this authority with which he speaks, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note. Let that one be put to shame. But again, Paul, he loves these people. He does not want anyone to be driven out, but he says, admonish that one. And then he comes to conclude his final words to these that we have recorded. May the Lord of peace. Earlier in this chapter, Paul had spoken about the Lord is faithful. Here he concludes speaking of that the Lord is the Lord of peace and that he is the one who grants peace. These people lived in tempestuous times. But Paul reminds them, the Lord is with you. The Lord be with you all. Earlier in chapter 2, these people had seemingly received a letter, probably, undoubtedly, a fake, a forgery, chapter 2 and verse 2. Be not disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us. Paul identifies to them, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Usually he probably dictated to Luke or to someone else most of his writings, but Paul now takes the pen from the scribe and he says, this greeting with my own hand I write. And this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. He didn't want these people to be deceived, to be tricked. He wanted them to know the truth. And he concludes, "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all." Dear friends, as we have walked through the streets of Thessalonica, as we have rubbed shoulders with these Christians from 2,000 years ago, take with you the principles that they have heard and they have learned, and especially take with you, as they were to take, the grace of our Lord and Savior, which will strengthen you always.